So, Be'ezat Hashem, this Dvar Torah, Le'Nishmat, your sister, what's her name?
Tova
Tova Rivka
Rivka
Bat Golda. So, today, Be'ezat Hashem, we will try to explain a few things that it's hard to compare the other world to this world. Usually, people who believe in God did not ask this question. Why? Because Hashem is everywhere. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a man with a little bit of sense of intelligence, he will understand that a house cannot be built on its own. It must be a builder. It must be an architect. You know, I mean, the world, when I would talk about all the galaxy, it did not come just with a big bang, just like that. There is something that created the world. So there is no question about it. I would like to tell you, you know how the Torah starts? Bereshit bara Elokim. At the beginning, Hashem created. I mean, can you imagine? To who you talk? Bereshit bara Elokim. At the beginning, Hashem created. It's like something that you already know. That there is no question. At the beginning, it's like you are in a plane, and you know there is a pilot in the plane. I mean, can you imagine that you say to somebody, you know there is a pilot here. I mean, there is no question. I mean, the plane, a big 747, Boeing 747, it will not just take off and land with no pilot, with nobody. It's impossible, no. Maybe one day they will do it, but for the moment, we talk about something that exists. I mean, it's like I bring you food, I tell you know this fruit, they come from a tree. I mean, what it is the question, of course. So here the Torah as well, you know, the Torah talk to you like easily, like it's normal. At the beginning, Hashem created the world. That means there is not, even if the Torah will not write it, you will understand there is a Baal HaBayis, there is somebody who created the world. I want to tell you a small story. I was in London few weeks ago, and believe me, for the first time, I had bad thoughts. I had some bad thoughts about Emunah. I'm not kidding. Look at me. I was thinking, how Hashem did that? Some questions that I'd never asked in my life. And then I said to myself, David, where are you going? I was talking to myself, David, where are you going with those questions? And do you know what I saw? On the table, you know, people that they come, they let some money in the and on the table. I saw the 10 pound note, like the $10, the 10 pound note, the picture of there, it was Arduin. You know, that physician, that man who said that the world was created millions of years ago with and the man come from the monkey. Arduin, yes. You know the method of Arduin, you know. That man he's you know he's
Darwin.
Huh?
Darwin.
Darwin. You know, with a long beard. I said, now I understand, because I was looking at his face. That give me a bad ashpa. That give me a bad influence. I took them, I put them away. I told him, and then I said, now, I would like just to ask you one question. Do you see tum'ah, the impurity? Do you see the purity? Do you see what it is hashpa? Do you see what it is holiness? Do we see that? Do we see what is this? I would like just to tell you this. When the Torah started, Bereshit bara Elokim. At the beginning, Hashem created the world. It was easy. No question about it. There is no one will ask any question because it's normal. The world is not abundant. The world is not. The world has a balabais. The world has somebody who created. It's God. It's Hashem. So there is no question. It's not. It's like do you have to give milk to the child? Of course, you have to give him milk. If you don't give him any, I mean, there is no question. So even here, Hashem, there is no. The Torah doesn't talk too much. Large. How Hashem decided to create it? Just with one shot. At the beginning, God created the world. That's it. It's up to you to believe or not. You don't want to believe, don't believe. If you are clever enough to believe, so make your research. And then you will find out. But at the beginning, you have to work hard. Where in Hanukkah? You light the candles of Hanukkah. What we say? Hanerot halalo kodeshim. Those light of Hanukkah, they are holy. And we are not allowed to use them, only to look at them, because they are holy. Do you see this holiness coming out from the candles of Hanukkah? Do you see them? Do you feel what it is the Kedusha of Shabbat? The holiness of Shabbat, there is a Kedusha. Do you feel it? Do we see the Kedusha? We don't see. I don't understand. How you can tell me those light of Hanukkah, they are holy. You are not allowed to use them. That means to write next to them, to use their light. You are not allowed. If there is no light in the house and you have only the Hanukkah, you are not allowed to write a letter or to eat with the light of Hanukkah. It's holy. What's this? What is this? I can believe something that I see. Something that I don't see. You have to explain me. There was a teacher, a communist teacher. He was teaching some students. He told them, look, you have to believe only what you see. What you don't see, you don't believe. So, only what your head see, what your eyes see. So, God, do you see God? No, so you don't believe. So there was there a student. He said, please, can I say something? He said, yes. He said, well, I don't see your brain. You are not our prof. You are nothing. You are not a man. You are nothing. You are just a spirit. How do you can talk? Because you said, we should be only what we see. I don't see your brain. So because I don't see your brain, you are not there. There is something you see, there is something you don't see. But what you don't see, if really you want to see, so you have to make your own research. Like David HaMelech said, I don't have that these people will prove me that there is God. It's enough for me to look up to the sky and to see the stars and the sun and to see the earth to believe that there is Hashem. All this, they were not made just like that. There is somebody who created them. So now, I would like just to explain to you something. In this world, there is a material world. We eat, we sleep, there is money, we drink, we enjoy ourselves, we swim, we do sport. It's a world of material. Now, how it look like up there? Well, first, there is nobody who went there to see what's going on there, to come to tell us what's going on there. Today, you can go to visit anywhere you want. But up there, there is no visitors. Visitors not allowed. The only visitors that you can go there, when they die. So why you have to die to be up there? Well, this question, it already happened when Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Shamayim to receive the Torah. The Malachim said to Hashem, Mali lo disha benenu, what this man is doing here? This word is not for man. It's only for souls, for neshamot, for people who left their body down there. What does he do here? So that means up there, there is no food. There is nothing. There is no drink. There is no schlafen. There is no sleeping. There is nothing. What? And the pleasure there, you cannot imagine. But what pleasure? We don't know. Because nobody went there. So please tell me, nobody was. So how can you make, you want to make me believe that there is something up there where there is nobody? Nobody came from there to tell me what's going on there. There is no film. There is no video. There is, I don't know what's going on there. Maybe there is nothing. So you cheat me. So tell me, all those questions are good. But Hashem, He give us the Torah. Through the Torah, you can test what it is. And that Torah came from up there. Moshe Rabbeinu went there. The question is, why Moshe Rabbeinu, he did not left his body down here and go and bring the Torah. Why his body had to go up there? Why? I mean, that was the question of the Malachim. Mali Ludish Rabbeinu, what this man is doing here? So Hashem told them, he came to receive Torah. He said, he came to receive Torah, but and that he can't. I mean, Torah is very spiritual. Torah, it's light, it's holy, it's this body. They wanted to burn him. So Hashem protected him, that the Malachim will not burn him. But the question is, why he had to go with his body? The answer is, the only way that the body, because don't forget one thing, Moshe Rabbeinu, he went to bring the Torah from up there. And he went with his body. So that means that the Torah, it matched the body. Hashem, he wanted that Moshe Rabbeinu, he will realize that the Torah, it's like a levush, it's like clothes. It's like something very spiritual that only the body of Moshe Rabbeinu, he had to test something up there. If Moshe Rabbeinu will not go up there, I would like just to tell you something. Sometimes you tell me a story, something that you saw something, and the way you describe what you saw, I can tell if you are telling me right or wrong. If you are an actor or you are just you saw Moshe Rabbeinu, what he saw up there, what he feel up there, what he realized up there, he did not eat, he did not drink, he did nothing, but he felt something. What he felt it only through the Torah. So if you want to feel in this world what Moshe Rabbeinu felt up there, through the Torah. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu bring down here. And I promise you, the best pleasure that I have when I understand something in the Torah. One day somebody give me a big amount of money, big, to buy a big yeshiva. You know, to buy this yeshiva, it's a big amount of money. And at the same time, I had a question in my mind. And I received the check, I saw the check, I saw how much he gave me, and suddenly, at the meantime, I had an answer for one question, the question. And I give a big smile. And the man told me, "Why are you happy?" He said, "No, you know," he said, "I was thinking of," I mean, he was shocked. He thought I was happy. I was smiling for the big check that I received, and in reality, I was smiling and happy because I found it an answer for a question that I had. It's something that you cannot imagine. David HaMelech said, "Ta'amu okit of Hashem, test Hashem, you will see. Test Hashem through the Torah, you will see with Hashem." When Hashem created the world, it was so normal. That was before Adam HaRishon, he made the sin. Before he ate the forbidden tree. The word was completely pure. You felt the Kedusha. You felt the holiness. You felt everything. You felt Gan Eden in this world. Then Adam Rishon, he did what he should not do. Then everything went. And the world became like a disaster. Now, to rebuild the world, to bring back the Kedusha, to bring back things that Hashem put in the world only through Torah. You want to test what it is Olam Haba? Only through Torah. And if you test the Torah, if you test the Olam Haba through the Torah, to imagine what it is, the pleasure up there. Here in this world, we think the pleasure is food. Here we think the pleasure is holidays, Thanksgiving. We think that the big pleasure is money, yes, it's pleasure. But to compare the real pleasure, it's nothing. But all those pleasures that we have today, they become active after this Adam Rishon made the sin. Before he made the sin, there were another kind of pleasure. There were another kind of pleasure. Another kind. But when, because he made the sin, so he showed that he wanted a connection with this world. He wanted to disconnect himself from up there. So Hashem said, okay. You want your own world? Okay, you live your own world. But Adam HaRishon said to Hashem, but still, I want to feel, I want to live. I don't want to be completely disconnected from up there, no. So Hashem said, I give you the Torah. I give you now the mitzvot. Through them, you connect yourself with up there. Now, you pray to Hashem. Do you feel Hashem? I mean, you pray, you put tefillin, you put yarmulke. Do you feel Hashem? So it's up to you. It's up how much you are connected to Hashem. Through the tefillah, through the learning, the Torah, good things, we test a little bit from up there. So what it is up there? There is no answer. No one was there. The pleasure there, it's something else. It's not food. It's not what you have here. It's something else. Let's understand something. You have to know something. The Maharal, Miprag, he said, why we do Birkat Hamazon after we eat? Why we don't bench Hashem before we eat? Thank you, Hashem, that you give me food to eat. Thank you very much, Hashem. And I do a Birkat Hamazon. And after I eat, no. You eat, after you say thank you to Hashem. I mean, the logic is, you want to buy something. If you don't have money, don't buy. You go to a shop. You want to buy food. If you have no money, there is nothing to buy. You're not allowed. You go to prison if you steal. The Maharal Mipragi said, Hachamim, they want us to do Birkat Hamazon after that we eat. Why? Because if we do Birkat Hamazon before we eat, we're angry, we're starving, we want to eat. When you see the food, thank you Hashem, we're so excited. Our thought is, now, that means if there was no food, so there is no bracha. The Maharal Miprag, he explained, he said, after that you eat, the Yetzara is big. Because you feel tired. You want to go to Shlofen. You want to now show Hashem that you love Him. Now you see the Birkat Hamazon. Now you say thank you to Hashem. Because it's normal that you say thank you to Hashem before you eat. But the real thank you, it's after you eat. After you eat, now that you feel very well rassasié, it's very, now let's see what you feel. So you see, you feel the spiritual, don't forget that. Whatever you eat, whatever you do, there is a bracha. That means even the material, anything that is material, we make it spiritual. You want to eat, you do a bracha. You wash your hand, everything. You, through the material, we can feel the spiritual. I mean, the money is good. Through the money, you can do a lot of millions of mitzvot. For yourself, for others. Through the food you eat, there is a you keep your body going to serve Hashem. When you light the candles, do you see any kedusha? Look, the woman, they light the Arif Shabbat candles. They say Baruch Hashem, lighting the Shabbat. This is a spectacular moment when the mother she pray for her children when she light. If somebody look at this woman lighting the candles, doing all those things, he will not understand what she's doing. What she's doing. You see? But if you ask that woman, what do you feel? She'll tell you, I feel something. But what? She will not explain to you. You light the Nerot of Hanukkah. We feel something, but what? There is no answer. We don't know. But the more you know about Hanukkah, the more you will feel what it is, this light. The more you know about Shabbat, you will feel more about this light of Shabbat. The more you know about feeling, the more you know about mitzvot, you will realize what it is, the Kedusha, the holiness. So that means you can live in this world, this Olam Hazeh. You can bring Olam Haba to Olam Hazeh. You can bring the other world here. What you feel through those mitzvot, just imagine, if you feel, like yesterday, you, Sheldon, you told me yesterday that your daughter, she sent you a picture from a soldier that was in the bus praying with tefillin. And you told me it's an amazing picture. What's amazing about this picture? What it is this picture? It's a picture that your daughter, she was in the bus, and she saw a soldier praying with tefillin, and she took a picture. Even the way she took a picture, that means your daughter, she was impressed. She felt something. Ah, those soldiers, they're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh. And she sends you the picture, and you keep the picture, you look at the picture, and you feel impressed about the picture. What? What you saw in the picture? What? Well, there is no explanation. The more you are connected to Hashem, you feel what others don't feel. That means Hashem, he wants already to make you that you test the other world in this world, so you will throw mitzvot that you do without understanding. But you leave something. What? I don't know. So just imagine what it is up there. If you know the story about the Hashmonaim, if you know the story about the miracles that Hashem made with the Jews when they were at that time, when the Greek came to Israel, and they forbid the Jews not to study Torah, not to put tefillin, not to respect Shabbat, not to do Brit Milah, not to do, women should not go to the mikveh. Can you imagine all this? Can you imagine? The more you know about the miracle that happened, and then the Hashmonaim, few soldiers, they threw away all the soldiers. Then they came, instead of doing a big ceremony of victory that they won the war, no, quick, they wanted the Beit HaMikdash. They start searching for oil to light the menorah. The more you know about that, the more you connect yourself about on this mitzvah, you will feel something that no one can understand. That's why you just look at them, you watch them. But not, you don't watch them like you watch a television. You see a television, you see a film. Here, it's a film, Lehavdil, it's the story that it's in your mind. It's a holy story. It's a true story. The more you connect yourself to that story. What is the story of Hanukkah? The story of Hanukkah, it's the fight against assimilation. The Greek wanted the Jews to be assimilated through their culture. And we fight it. We don't want. We respect you, you Greek people. We like you. We help you. We are your friend. But we don't want your culture. We are ours. That's why the Greek culture, we call it darkness. Because there is no way out. There is no. Just eat, sport, muscles. This is my tachlis. This is all about. All my life I have just to eat, drink, sleep, muscles, and then die. That's it. What is the purpose? There is a purpose. There is something. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, sometimes I don't understand people. What their purpose? You know, there was a woman this week. I think she's a very, very rich woman. Very, very rich woman. And she's depressed. Very depressed. Why is she depressed? Because her husband, he bought her a diamond that it cost only $50 million. And she saw another diamond with earrings, altogether $32 million. And she was very upset, and she came to ask me to give her an advice how to behave, how to should she stay with her husband, or to let him, or to divorce him? I started to look at her. I thought she was crazy. I thought she was mad. So I told her, "Madam, let's say that your husband will buy you 100 million jewelry. What you do with them? It's only 1 minute pleasure. The first day we'll have a big pleasure. Then after, there is no pleasure. Honest, between you and me, you buy a beautiful jewelry. There is only one pleasure for 1 minute. After 1 year, she already wants something else. What about the one that you bought her last year? Ah, now it's finished. It's in the box. It's in the box. I don't want it anymore. I want something new. So there is no pleasure. You see, even with those jewelry that they are very expensive, they have no nachas from them, no satisfaction. Got no satisfaction. You do a mitzvah, you cannot imagine. There is no price. The pleasure of a mitzvah. I saw in one book, he said, we never saw a man who did a mitzvah that he regrets why he did the mitzvah. But a man who do avera, always he regret why he did it. After he do it, he regret why he did it. But we never saw a man that he give a big check, or he give a big tzedakah, or he woke up to go, I don't know. He will not regret the mitzvah that he did. Okay, it cost him a lot of money, but he will not regret. Look, somebody who supposed to do avera, and thanks God, he avoid the avera, and he did not do it. Would he be sad or happy? He'll be happy that he did not do it. But a man who steals money from somebody, or a man who went out with a woman, a married woman, once all the pleasure went, he regrets. Why I did it? Why I did it? In the sukkah, let me just tell you this, in the sukkah, we say in the sukkah, there is Der Hashem, there is Abraham, there is Yitzhak, there is Yaakov. I would like to ask you one question. I would like to invite you to my sukkah next year. And I would like to ask you, hey, children, do you see Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron? No. But Hachamim said that they are there. How can they be there? And there is millions of sukkot around. How can they be there? How can they be in my sukkah, in your sukkah, in his sukkah, in New York, in Manhattan, in Morocco, in Israel, in I don't know how. But if Hachamim said, so it is. What? The Kedusha of them. It's like the sun. The sun, when the sun lights a place, he don't light only your house, he lights all houses. He lights everywhere. So when you talk about the presence of Eliyahu HaNavi or Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, he's everywhere, like the sun. But not like this sun that you see. Billions of times more powerful than the sun that you see. So you can understand that Abraham, he is everywhere. Eliyahu, let's say you have a Brit Milah. There is a Brit Milah at nine o'clock in the morning. But there is thousands of Brit Milah at 9 o'clock. Where Eliyahu HaNavi will be? We know that Eliyahu HaNavi is everywhere. Well, he will be everywhere. He's like the sun, les rayons solaires. They light all houses. So les rayons solaires of Eliyahu HaNavi will be everywhere, all Brit Milah. It depends how much you believe. The more you believe, the more you're connected to Hashem, you will feel what nobody feels. You will feel your Olam Haba. Shabbos is Me'in Olam Haba. It's something from Olam Haba. But what it is, we don't know. The food of Shabbat is special. I don't know, Shabbat we feel something, I don't know. Do Shabbat with a rabbi. Do Shabbat in a religious family. You will feel something there that you don't feel nowhere. It's something that no one can feel. It's up to you. Pesach, Sukkot, Hoshana, Kippur. There is a feeling. On Kippur, there is something that you feel on Kippur. Tell me, on Kippur. I mean, Kippur, you feel something. There is something. What you feel? It depends. How much you prepare yourself for Kippur to feel what you will feel. You did not prepare for Yom Kippur, so you will not feel Kippur. If just you mention Kippur, so you will feel Kippur on Kippur. But the more you prepare yourself on Kippur, you will feel Kippur. The more you prepare yourself to the mitzvah, you will do the mitzvah. When I want to do a shiur, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, no one, he will wake me up. Oh, no one. I woke up myself. The shiur woke me up. The Torah woke me up. Hey, David, you have a shiur in 1 hour. Wake up. Yes. Yeah. All I'm about. I don't know. Excuse me. When Hashem created the word supposed to be perfect. Perfect. You feel Hashem everywhere. But Adam Rishon, that's why when the Torah wrote Bereshit bara Elokim, there was no question. At the beginning, Hashem created the world, there was no question. At the beginning, there was no question. You could feel Hashem everywhere. You see Hashem. You talk to Hashem. He's there. He's everywhere. The change came. There was no Olam Haba, there was no Olam Hazeh. There was every Olam Haba was not Olam Hazeh. Up there was down here. And it was amazing. But Adam HaRishon, through the Aver, the sin that he did, he made a separation from up there, down here. So down here you feel only material. Up there there is only spiritual. But down here you have all kinds of pleasure. Up there is very special pleasure. But what? What? There is nobody who went up there to tell you how it is. There is no test. There is nothing. There is no video. But you want to know something, what it looks like? Test it from the Torah. Test it from the Torah. I want to tell you a secret. A secret. There is a big rabbi that I know him, that this rabbi sponsored his I sponsor him for over 25 years. I used to give him $1,000. Then I helped him to get married. And then I give him today few thousand dollars every month. This man, he was a mannequin, a model man. And one day he came to my show. I was giving a lecture in Lyon, and he came. And he listened to the show. And he started to become Jew. And today he is in Israel. He is a rabbi. He converted himself. And he wrote a lot of books. And I told him, you are a mannequin. You know what is a mannequin? Mannequin is a top model, the man that they put pictures with a model. Model, you know, in magazines. Mm-hmm. You know, suit, like for Dior, for Chanel, you know, mannequin. Yeah. That's what he was before.
Jewish?
Goy. He was not Jewish. He was not Jewish. And he came to my classes, to my class. He came with his friend. His friend is Jew. And he listened that I was talking about Torah. And he fell in love with the Torah. And since he started to become Jew, I sponsor his study. Now he got married. He has children. And I give him a few thousand dollars every month, up till now. So I ask him, a lot of times I call him when he comes to see me, how did you find our religion? You were a top model man. I mean, all women, they were in your hand. What did you find out religion? He said, I can't tell you. He told me, I can't tell you. You can't understand. You cannot understand. I cannot tell you. I mean, can you imagine a man that he was down Tum'ah and he realized Kedusha? What he saw, what he felt, I don't know. If he felt he was a goy and he felt what he felt and he become a Jew, he become a rabbi, what about me that my father is a Jewish and my mother is Jewish? The matzav, the situation changed. I would like to tell you something. And there is a pasuk. It said, when Hashem created the world, v'choshech al pene tehom, and the darkness was in the surface of nowhere. Tehom, that means nowhere. Notice tehom? It's like a le vide, empty space.
Void.
Empty space. What the meaning? The choshech, the darkness was on the surface of a void, of an empty. I mean, how? What that mean? You know the Yitzhara, he is a darkness. The Yitzhara, he covers the void, he covers the empty space. You think it's full. He show you from an empty space something, but there is nothing. There is nothing. There is nothing. Be careful. If you go there, c'est comme du sable mouvant. It's like the sand. There is somewhere. There is sand.
Quicksand.
Huh? You sink. You see sand. You think it's land. You walk there. Boom. You die. The tzara is very, very clever. V'choshech al pene tehom. You see the darkness on the surface of nowhere. And you think there is something, this is for the, you can walk. No, danger. Be careful. Be careful. Yes, sir. This is, the Gemara said, V'choshech al pnei tehom. The darkness is the Greek, Greece, the culture of Greece. Don't believe in God. There is nothing. This is Choshech. V'choshech al pnei tehom. So they bring your culture. They bring you sport, but this sport is only a surface. There is nothing. There is no. Yes, a good sport. It's good to serve Hashem with the sport. Yes, to have a, but just sport. All your life, just woman, sport. Just you, just television. No, it's not good. The Greek, he said, they tell you, believe what you saw, what you see. Don't believe what you don't see. They talk to you about God. There is no God. There's nobody. So Hashem gives us the Torah. So Torah, I will feel something. Yes, I would like just to tell you something. You know, Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, something happened on Pesach. Something happened on Pesach. Why we do Pesach? Because there is a history. There is a history in Pesach. So we have to remember, it's our culture, it's our history. So we talk about history, because after Pesach we receive the Torah. So we prepare ourselves on Pesach, we do Pesach, because even after Pesach, it is Torah. There is where we receive, it's a preparation. This is all about. Yehuda, the two sons of Yehuda, they die. But because when they got married, they had a relationship with their wives, but the sperm, they did not leave it inside to get pregnant. They threw it outside. So Hashem killed them. Because if you waste sperm, it's like you kill somebody. Sperm is, it's alive. So Hashem said, they die. So somebody asked me a question. He said, Rabbi David, why Hashem did not punish the Shevatim? Why did not punish the tribe about what they did to Yosef? Hashem punished, okay. Why did the two sons of Yehuda, because they did what they did, Hashem punished them? What Hashem did not punish those brothers that they took their brother and this? Can you imagine what it is selling? Please, children, explain. Can you imagine what it is to sell somebody? Is it normal to sell somebody? Why Hashem did not punish them? Right away should punish them. It's like they killed him spiritually. Because they sold him to people that there he will be assimilated. He was a handsome man. Why Hashem did not punish them? It's a question that somebody asked me. I told him, because Er ve'onam, the sin they did a sin to themselves. They had a relationship with the woman, with their wives, and they throw the spear out. They did Avera. But the Shvatim, when they sold Yosef, they thought they were doing the right way. They thought because he talked Lashon Hara about them, because he was bad to them, because he created some jealousy in the house. So, that's why they did it Lishim Shamayim. They did it for Hashem, because he said, I had a dream that Yehuda was banned to me, and Yehuda is the king. I mean, just imagine, there is a king of Morocco. Imagine, there is a man, he go to the king, he would tell, a man in Morocco, he will say to the people, I am the king. It's a revolution. He's condemned to death. I mean, there is a king here. Well, there is a legal king. Who are you? So that's why they sold him. He did the Avera. It was the Shem Shamayim. I mean, their thought was for Hashem. They didn't do it on purpose just for to kill him. No. They thought this man is Morid B'Malchut. According to the Torah, because Hashem he designed that from Yehuda will be the kingdom. So Yosef, the dream that Yosef had that he was the king. So it's like a revolution. But there is a lot of things that we don't understand. But when we focus to understand, there is answers to everything. Yosef had a dream between you and me. What was the message of Yosef? What was the message of Yusuf? I had a dream that all my brothers, they bent to me. Even my father and my mother. What the message? I mean, Yusuf is not crazy to have this kind of dream. And the Torah said, Yaakov shamar et adavar. Yaakov was so impressed about the dream that he was waiting when those dreams are going to happen. I mean, how can you imagine that? Yaakov, please, Yaakov. But the kingdom is coming only from Yehuda, not from Yosef. What does that mean? You are waiting. When's going to happen this? The answer is, Yaakov Abinu, he said, if Yosef had sadly had this dream, maybe there is a message which I don't know. Or maybe there is... Sometimes we think we know everything. No, so if Yosef at Tzaddik had this kind of dream, that means there is a message. I don't know what's hidden the message. I don't know what. Maybe there is something. A lot of times we don't understand what's going on. A lot of times we don't understand what's going on. What Hashem wants from us. So it's a work. It's a big work that we should do. And the answer was that Yaakov Abino, when everybody knew that Yosef was the king, and Yaakov had to go to Egypt, he went to Egypt with all the honors. So imagine that Yosef would not be the king. How Yaakov will go to Egypt? Like a prisoner. And Yaakov represents the Torah. The Kvod HaTorah. For the Torah that Yaakov Abinu represents, so must be somebody who will prepare his view, his welcome to Egypt. That was Yosef. And beside this, there is Mashiach bin Yosef and there is Mashiach bin David. So the dream that Yosef had, that he was a king, so it's going to happen before Mashiach will come. Because there will be two Mashiach. One Mashiach from Yehuda and one Mashiach from Yosef. So you see, now you understand, and to finish is the mezuzah. You see the mezuzah, you will kiss the mezuzah. In each door you have a mezuzah, you kiss the mezuzah. But a normal man don't understand what's going on here. What there is in the mezuzah? Why you kiss the mezuzah? What's there? We see the name of Hashem. Hashem protect you. Usually, there is the king in the house and the guard, the outside. And here you have the contrary. The man is in the house and the king is outside. The mezuzah is the secret. Why not the mezuzah, the word of the mezuzah should be hidden. We should not see them. You have to see only the name of God, Shakai. All the blessing is inside. So this beautiful mezuzah, it's a beautiful art. It's good, but it's art. We're not allowed to do bracha here. So I pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give you bracha v'atzlacha. Now you understand why Hashem, he wanted that Moshe Rabbeinu will go up there. Hashem wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to test what it is Gan Eden. And Hashem wanted that Moshe Rabbeinu, he will test after the Torah once he's here. And once he's here, because once he was there, he's going to miss this pleasure that he had in Gan Eden. So Hashem said, Moshe, don't worry. That way Hashem wants Moshe Rabbeinu to come with his body to up there. Why? So when he will come down there and he will miss, I miss that pleasure that I have down there, up there. So Hashem will tell him, study Torah. So through the studying of the Torah, and through keeping Torah mitzvot, he was going to feel something that he felt there when he was there.